enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. It's Robin Sander from My Wife the Dietitian, and this is Nutrition Nuggets.
Yes, and we have a question from a listener.
Another question. Yeah. They're just coming in like gangbusters these days.
And I love this question because this is something that we talked about a long time ago that we wanted to do a whole episode on, and this is the reason we're doing it. So the question is, why is B-complex called B50 on the bottle? Thanks, Janice from Missoula.
You know what? I have the same question. B vitamins are so confusing. Maybe that's why they're called B complex, because they're seriously, there's so many different numbers behind them. And
so
it's
funny,
like,
Rob,
which one do I need to take? So
that's hilarious.
I think I'm going to be learning a bit here too.
Well, remember we did to be or not to be, that mm-hmm. is the question.
That is one of the questions for sure.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that take single dose supplements of certain B vitamins. And the problem there is they all work together.
Okay, so what do you mean by single dose supplement?
So like niacin, like a single dose of niacin or a single dose of B6 or a single, like they actually buy a bottle.
Okay, I think we got to back up a bit here.
Okay.
Can you name what the B vitamins are?
Yeah. Okay, so in the B complex bottle, it says B50. And it's like, why is it B50? Well, the 3B, like B1, B2, B3, are all at the dosage of 50.
50 milligrams or whatever.
Yeah, 50 milligrams.
I see.
You got it. Yeah. So in the B complex, there is 8 B vitamins in total, but then choline is considered kind of it's in the same class, but it's not a B vitamin, but it's usually in the B complex also. And so that's
they got to put it somewhere, right? So that's where they...
Well, it acts similar to the B vitamins.
I see. Okay.
Anyways, B1 is thiamine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really important for alcohol metabolism. So for instance, if someone comes into the hospital with alcohol poisoning and they're in the eMERGE, they get like hooked up to the IV. And guess what they get in the IV?
B1.
Thiamine. Yes.
B1.
Yeah. So it actually helps with alcohol metabolism, but is also for energy production and metabolism of all energy.
So is that a good hangover cure too?
Well, you're going to be depleted if you have been having a lot of alcohol. Your body will be depleted of B1.
Okay.
Okay. And then B2 is riboflavin, and that's also energy production and metabolism of fats and drugs and steroids. And it's interesting because if you aren't eating, like if you're just not getting your nutrition, like you're just, you know, poor eating, poor diet kind of day after day, you might start to have cracks in the corner of your mouth or redness of the lips, light sensitivity, sore throat or swelling of the mucous membranes, and inflammation of the tongue. Those are all B2 or riboflavin deficiency symptoms.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's very uncommon in the developed world to have a riboflavin deficiency because it's just common. Like the B2 is in, well, all the B vitamins are in dairy and meat and green leafy vegetables, whole grains. But if you are not eating well or something's going on with your gut biome and malabsorption's happening, remember, you're not just, you are what you eat, but you are what you absorb. So if you're not absorbing your nutrition, then you could develop a riboflavin deficiency, which is the B2.
Meaning you could be eating all the right things, but if your gut isn't absorbing them properly because mm-hmm. of something that's wrong, then yeah, those things happen.
Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. So those are some of the common deficiency symptoms of vitamin B2, riboflavin,
right?
Which, as I mentioned, is not super common in the developed world. Vitamin B3 is niacin.
Okay.
And that has a crucial role in some energy metabolism, like the processes in metabolism, including the fat metabolism. So people that are on statin medications or cholesterol lowering medications might take B3 or niacin to help with their lipid metabolism and help with reducing triglycerides and the bad fats or the LDL, the lousy cholesterol.
Right. Okay.
It is a precursor. So it turns food into energy in your body, and it's a precursor to certain enzymes like NAD. And as I mentioned, it's helpful for people with cardiovascular disease. And there's deficiency symptoms such as dermatitis or pellagra, it's called. But again, it's not common in the developed world to have a deficiency of niacin.
Okay, good to know.
And with the B vitamins, it's usually better to take the B complex so that you're getting the balance of Bs, B for balance.
And what is there typically the same combination of B vitamins in a complex, a B complex?
Good question. You'll have to look that up.
Oh, okay. I have to do some research for change.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one is B5.
It will list on the bottle what's in it. And
Yeah, you can compare the bottles on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how you know which ones you need.
Well, it's like I said, with B vitamins, it's a really good idea to have a combination of all of them.
Right.
It's better to eat your food. You're getting your nutrition through your food. But if you do need a supplement for whatever reason, then a B complex or a multivitamin has all of the Bs.
A range of Bs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're all water soluble.
Oh, okay. So whatever your body doesn't need, you'll just pee it out.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why.
Because I'm thinking, what if you take something that you don't really need? So you'll just, okay.
Yeah.
Just pee it out.
Exactly. Yeah. And usually what you'll notice if you are taking a B complex and you're already getting what you need from your food, you'll pee it out and you'll notice that your pee is like bright yellow.
Neon.
Yeah.
The first time you look at it, you're like, whoa.
Some healthcare professionals call that, expensive pee because you're just wasting your money. But you never know. I mean, if you are deficient in one of them, and B12 is one that I'm going to talk about in a minute. And that's one that's pretty important to not be deficient in. And many older adults start to have a tendency to be deficient in B12 because it's the one that, as our stomach acid isn't working as well, then we don't actually, there's an intrinsic factor in the gut that helps absorb B12. So sometimes we're not getting enough from our diet, but also in our stomach, we're not absorbing the B12. So you'll hear older people might be on a B12 supplement. And it's important because if you are deficient in B12, it's an integral part of the red blood cell formation. And you could start to have signs of dementia because it's a neurological functioning and with the DNA synthesis. So it's really important. Having enough B12 is really key for not having those symptoms of, memory loss or dementia.
Right. Okay.
And some people have to have monthly intramuscular injection of B12 to get it.
Oh, nasty.
Or take it through a supplement or making sure that you're getting B12 sources in your diet.
Right.
Which are typically animal sources.
Right. Right.
So we skipped ahead to B12, but so B5, let's go back there.
Oh, there is a B5. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's pantothenic acid, and it has a role in energy production also and synthesis of hormones and cholesterol. And B6 is...
Was there a B4?
No.
Okay. There's no B4.
B6 is pyridoxine, and it has a similar role in amino acid metabolism and neurotransmitter synthesis. And it's in meat and beef and fish and nuts and seeds, whole grains, vegetables and fruits, legumes. It's really key for immune function and neurotransmitter synthesis. So B6 is one that women in midlife might start to require more B6 to keep their immune system strong and keep things more balanced. But again, a B complex is a better way to do it than just a single dose supplement.
Right.
Or trying to get it in your food. And then B7 is biotin.
It's a cool blues chord too in music, B7.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
That one rings a bell for me as a musician.
I remember Doug Cook in our episode.
On brain health?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple months ago there.
Talked about biotin and it's like the forgotten B vitamin. Remember that?
I do. Well, I was thinking about the blues chords when we were talking to him too, but I didn't want to, he was kind of on a, you know, I don't want to say a rant because it sounds like a negative thing, but he was on a roll, we'll say.
Or so a tangent.
I didn't want to interrupt him with my silly humor.
Right.
So I just let him be. But I was thinking about playing guitar. And,
okay.
So yeah.
That's awesome.
I was on a tangent. My brain was on a tangent.
And yeah, that one is important too. And then the last one, because we already talked about B12. So B9 is folate or folic acid. Folate, like Amanda Archibald said in the Nutrigenomics, foliage. Folate is like foliage. Mm-hmm. It's a dark leafy greens.
Oh, right.
It's also in legumes. And it's really key for prevention of neural tube defects and in like early phases of pregnancy, like within the first, before you even know you're pregnant, like within the first 8 weeks, you have to make sure that you're getting the B vitamins, especially the folate, to make sure that the neural tube fuses and is developed.
Gotcha. Okay. B9's also a cool blues chord.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of connections between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So did we cover? Oh, we didn't say anything about choline.
Which, I thought you did.
Well,
maybe
just that it's like it's usually in the B complex. And
you did say something about it.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Okay.
It's one that if you're pregnant,
they didn't know where to put it. Is that the one? So they called it a B vitamin.
Well, it's kind of like a B vitamin, and most of us don't get enough choline, and you really need enough in pregnancy. Actually, your levels increase a lot because it helps with the growth of the placenta and the baby. And it's in eggs. That's a really good place to get it. Eggs, liver right. are the biggest sources. Organ meats.
I remember talking about this in another episode.
Yeah. So that's also in a B complex.
What do you mean it's like a B vitamin? Like, why are these all considered B vitamins, do you think? Like, why don't they just name them some other, letter in the alphabet? Because to me, that makes them confusing. There must be some relationship between them all, and they all are slightly different chemical compounds or however that chemistry of them all works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Choline's not technically a B vitamin, but it's often grouped with the B vitamins. And that's because it's got a similar function and roles in the body with the physiological processes.
Ah, okay. So it's more about what they do. That's why they're all grouped together. Like
yeah,
the similarities
chemical
maybe.
Chemical structure. And yeah. It's same with inositol, and that's actually in the B complex too.
Oh yeah, I was wondering about that one.
Yeah, it gets really complex, eh?
Yeah. They should call them the complex B instead of the B complex. It'd make a lot more sense.
That's right. Well, that's one that we see that with women with PCOS, they might take inositol. It's also part of the B vitamin complex, but not recognized as a vitamin, but it's like a B vitamin. So that's why it's in the complex. It's a sugar alcohol, and it's in the cell membranes. It's really important for the nerves and brain, and it's also a mood regulator, a neurotransmitter, and helps with the metabolism of fats.
Sorry, which one was that?
Inositol.
Inositol.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it actually helps prevent accumulation of fat in the liver.
Sounds important.
Yeah. Remember the fatty liver episode we did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
So we should probably talk about some food. I'm guessing we want to try to get some of these B vitamins out of our food, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? A very B vitamin rich meal would be a grain bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a salmon quinoa bowl.
Because of everything that's in it?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
It sounds like they're in everything. Well, different B vitamins are in different things, so everything from like meat and veggies and okay. I'll let you take over here.
Well, what's in salmon? like, okay, so salmon's an animal product. So that's the one that has the B12.
Okay.
So you get some B12 in the fish.
Right.
But you also get B6, B3, B2, B5. In the quinoa, that's a grain. And so you're going to get folate. And you're also going to get the B1, 2, and 3. So the thiamine, riboflavin, and niacin. And B9, which is the folate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then spinach, you get, remember, foliage?
Foliage is B6, isn't it?
B9.
Oh, B9 again. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, foliage is like folate.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's the spinach or kale that's like the green leafy part in the grain bowl.
Right.
And then the chickpeas, which is a legume, which is so important. Beans, beans, beans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's going to give you the B6.
Okay.
And also niacin, B3. And some folate, so B9. And then the avocado gives you B5, which we only saw that in salmon. So it's in the avocado. And tomato gives you B1 and B6 and bell pepper, B6. And if you have a sauce that has like lemon tahini with sesame seed, that is delicious. And that gives you B3.
I haven't heard B7 yet.
Right. And, you know, with the B vitamins, I think we've talked about how they're water soluble.
Mm-hmm.
So you do lose them in cooking. So if you're boiling all the food, then you would lose some of your water soluble vitamins. So steaming, baking, and grilling will help preserve the B vitamins in the food. But, you know, variety is the spice of life. So if you like some things boiled, that's fine. But just remember that if you're trying to maximize some of your B vitamins, then steaming or grilling or baking will help preserve that.
All right. Good to know.
And what about a B vitamin rich snack?
You still didn't tell me about B7.
B7 biotin is actually in avocado.
Oh, that could be in your grain bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
It's also egg yolks, legumes, organ meats, nuts and seeds, sweet potatoes.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Little bits, right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are pretty common foods, so easy enough to get.
Yeah, and a B vitamin rich snack
mm-hmm.
is something that you have all the time.
That I have all the time?
Yeah, oh. Greek yogurt with berries and nuts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And granola. So the Greek plain yogurt and berries, and then the seeds or the nuts like walnuts or almonds, a little bit of honey for sweetness, and granola would actually be a really...
Because it's a grain?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And then the breakfast, like your famous oat breakfast that you always talk about.
I don't know if it's famous yet, but it's going to be. It's getting
right?
there.
Yes.
It's getting there, yeah.
Well, you got me eating it. It's delicious.
It is. There's lots going on in there.
Well, and the oats on their own have a ton of B vitamins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have the B1, thiamine. They have B3, which is the niacin. B5, pantothenic acid. B6, pyridoxine from the berries. Oh, that's if you add berries to your oats.
Oh, right. Okay. Which I
usually do. Yeah. And if you put banana alongside your oats, then that gives you some B6. If you add nuts and seeds, maybe other fruit, or if you have some dairy in that, that's going to give you the B12, which is a cobalamin.
I like listening to you try to say that word. Do you want to try it again?
Let me just pause. Cobalamin.
There you go.
And that's if you add something that has animal products, so dairy, into your oats.
Oh, I see.
You'll get a bit of B12 that way.
Right, right.
And you get some folate from the fruit too, so the B9.
So vegetarians are lacking a lot of these because of the meat sources that they're not getting, right? Or vegans. Who is it that needs B vitamins because of vegans, I think, right?
B12 is one that's only from animal sources, so that's right. One that vegans have to particularly work to get.
Like specifically
somehow.
B12.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And when who else would need a supplement then? Like at what point would you need a supplement if you're getting Like if you're eating well, you have a decent diet, when would you need a supplement? And
good
how,
question.
And how would you know?
Yeah, it's like those symptoms I mentioned about. So yeah, if you're not feeling well or you think you might be deficient, seek help from a healthcare professional and see what's going on, see what's going on with your the root cause. Mm-hmm. And they can do blood work and urine analysis, figure out if you are deficient.
Yeah, just pay attention to what your body's doing. Get to know your body. And I think we've said this before with a lot of these different things we've talked about. And because I always ask that question, how do you know? And I guess if you know your body really well, pay attention to it. And when it doesn't feel right, that's how you know. And then that's time to get things looked at, right? It's like your car. When your car doesn't sound right, you take it to the mechanic. So just pay attention.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that answered the question from the listener. And I appreciate that you took the time to email us the question. And hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, it definitely helped me understand that a bit more. So yeah, thanks for explaining that. And thank you, yeah, to Janice for the question. We encourage everyone to send us your questions because we want to be helping you. We want to be making sure that what we're talking about is what you guys want to hear. So don't be shy. Give us a email or a message on one of our, you know, social media platforms and just let us know what you want to hear about. And we will do our best to throw an episode together for you. You can also check out our website. There's lots of information there about all sorts of things now. We've got a blog on there that's got just a full resource of information on health and nutrition. So be sure to check that out. It's at mywifethedietitian.com. And if you wanted to email us, our address for that is mywifethedr@gmail.com. And we really appreciate when you can rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on. It's really helpful for us and it helps kind of just put the show in the spotlight in a way. It just helps other people find it and helps us. So yeah, we appreciate what you can do with that. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. We've got lots going on there as well. And feel free to comment, like, thumbs up, whatever works for those platforms. We also encourage you to share the podcast. If you're enjoying it, we'd love for you to share with your friends, family, that sort of thing. It also helps. So if you could do that, that would be great. And I think that's it. We will be back next Monday with a full episode. So in the meantime, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.